I know many of you are looking at me and wondering, so I'm going to start with the obvious. Yes, I did get my hair cut yesterday. Actually, I had a little run-in with a falling kitchen appliance on Tuesday and ended up with this lovely shiner, which is quite thematically linked to today's theme of light shining in the darkness. But in all seriousness, aside from a bruised eye and a bruised ego, I am fine. I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know that this seems a little crazy, but I think part of myself has always wanted to be a priest. I used to think that I only wanted to be a youth director, but feeling God's call to ordained life has proven to be a wonderful and very long process. It wasn't quite so much like that with the youth director portion of my vocation. I was a camp counselor for a while. I had some pretty great experiences in my own youth groups. I think going to college, I knew that some way or another, I wanted to be involved with youth ministries. That's one of the reasons I actually majored in Christian education in undergrad. My first year of college, I stayed sort of on the periphery of youth ministry. I volunteered at a local school and a local church, and I got a very small part-time job teaching a pre-EYC type class on Sunday evenings. And I took some core classes in Bible and in theology, and then the next semester took some pedagogy classes and some Christian education classes. By the first semester of my second year of college, I took a few other courses and began to really think of myself as someone who will indeed do youth ministry. I began gathering books, materials, and experience. I talked about it. I went to conferences. I began to connect with other youth groups and youth directors in the area. By the time I got my first real job as a youth director, which is about the middle of my second year of college, I felt completely and totally ready. I had the education, I had the knowledge, I had some experience, I had the energy to back it up, and I knew how to play dodgeball. But nothing would prepare me for the actual practice of youth ministry. I won't bother you with some of the stories from my earlier years, but I will tell you that nothing prepared me for that first year. There was no class in how to deal with broken bones or custody battles between parents or how to prepare me for all of the noise that goes with working with youth. I like that my advisors over here are laughing. The reality was a whole different ball game from the preparation. The reality required a risk. It required putting my neck out again and again and trying new things again and again, making mistakes again and again and being forgiven again and again, and forgiving others again and again for making their mistakes. I can imagine that it's a lot like being a parent for the first time, only I got to give them back at the end of the night. You can take as many parenting and Lamaze courses as you want. You can read as many books, buy as many diapers, talk to as many doctors as you want, but nothing prepares you for the day that you'll actually give birth. And certainly nothing will prepare you for the day that you'll actually bring a baby to your home. I'm sure our parents can attest that nothing prepares you for the many risks that involve parenting. So Christ is born. This is it. We're in Christmas. And the cool thing about being a Christian, and a liturgical one at that, is that we're actually in the middle of Christmas. It hasn't just come and gone. We're still in Christmas. I had to laugh at myself when my favorite coffee shop, that shall remain nameless, decided to do the 12 days of Christmas gift giving 12 days before Christmas. I almost went so far as to suggest, call the corporate offices and suggest that they call it the 12 days of Advent giving, but, you know, you pick your battles. But here we are. Here we are today, six geese a-laying, right in the middle of the 12 days of Christmas. And I'm sure that no amount of prophecy or planning or preparation prepared Mary, Joseph, and the rest of the world for this new beginning, for the birth of this Christ child. In a way, today's gospel reading helps direct us to that lack of preparation, into the heart of the risky reality of Christ. We're talking about no buildup, no preparation, no advent. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not just the beginning of Christ's life, but in the beginning. That's it. This is where John's gospel begins, in the beginning. This is John's nativity story, except for there aren't any sheep or shepherds or innkeepers or angels. In this birth story, John takes us back to the beginning. He echoes back from the words of Genesis, "In the beginning was God, and God created. God moved over the chaos and the darkness and said, 'Let there be light.'" In John's gospel, from the very beginning was the Word. This God who moved over the face of the deep, this God who moved over the darkness, who spoke the words, "Let there be light," this same God who was from the beginning also spoke the big W word. This is the God who became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. This same God from the very beginning. John says, "What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." The God who takes on our own flesh does not ignore the darkness, but shines in the very midst of it. And this is the building block of our faith. And I might even dare to say that all the love and all the preparation in the world could not prepare God to enter into human form, to risk everything for the world, to feel what it's like to be human, to live and to work and to love and to die in human form. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It's risky to be in the darkness. God became flesh to know humanity on a personal level so that people could have a personal relationship with humanity and divinity, and so that they could have an example of how to live into this darkness, of how to live into this risk, of how to live into what Christianity really is. And so, friends, in this Christmastide, when we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, of the light, we too are invited to give birth to the light in our own lives. We too are called to share this light with the world. And this also requires a risk for us. And we also might not feel prepared to be able to do that. A lot of people, especially Episcopalians, get a little freaked out when we ask you to share the Bible with other people. So perhaps it's a courageous risk to share God's love with a challenging individual. Perhaps this is a risk to invite God into your own life, to change your own heart or a part of your life that needs repentance or turnaround. Perhaps this is a risk to boldly enter into the darkest parts of our own lives. Perhaps this is even a risk to bring light to the chaos, to bring light to the deepest, most chaotic parts of our own selves, to enter into that darkness, to enter into those raging waters, and to speak inside of ourselves, "Let there be light." let there be light. And what we know from God is this: when we give birth to the light of Christ in our own lives, we might never be prepared for the change that comes our way, but it is most certainly always worth the risk. Like to conclude by reading you our collect for today, which is on the front of your bulletins if you'd like to follow with me. Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light enkindled in our hearts may shine forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.